Greetings. You're listening to St. Paul's Unseen Dimension. My name is Tom, and today is Sunday, January 16th. There's not going to be any bumper music tonight because I was too lazy and I left my other tablet upstairs, and I'm just too flippin' lazy to go back upstairs and get it so that way I can, you know, play whatever music via the microphone to church up this podcast and make it sound interesting. Because to be perfectly honest with you, I'm pretty boring today. I'm going to be probably pretty dull. And mostly because I've got the flu. And it's just this flu that I've had for 2 weeks. But I'm thankful that it's not killing me and making me feel like I've got pancreatic cancer. That's something I'm truly thankful for. I don't feel like I've got cancer anymore. I just feel like I have the flu. Which is good, because to be honest with you, I'd almost prefer to have cancer at this point, because at least, you know, with cancer you have a certain finality. You know that you're coming to the end eventually. Whereas this flu, it gives you that illusion that you're at the end, and then bang, zoom, you're out of remission and you're dying again. And as much as I like to make jokes about that sort of thing, today is not a joke at all, because I went to bed last night and I got up about 4:30 this morning, took the dogs out, went back to bed, and then got up at around 10, and then went back to bed at around 2, got up at about 7 again, and I've been awake roughly between 6 and 7. I got up and started doing stuff, and and I honestly, if I find out where this came from, I'm going to take some cholera laden fucking blankets and drop it off at that person's house. I swear to God, that's the only way I can make myself feel like I'm getting justice in this world. You know, I haven't been sick for 2.5 years, almost 3 years. I haven't been sick. And then I get sick. And it's not that I had forgotten what being sick feels like, because I spent so many years being sick every year. And then I noticed that I was getting a reprieve when I wasn't getting sick. And I really appreciated those 2.5, almost 3 years of being healthy. So much so that I basically shit-talked my way into catching this fucking flu. And I have no one to blame but myself for my hubris. But at least I'm intellectually honest enough to know it's my own damn fault. Even though I took all the multivitamins in the world that I should be taking, and getting out and trying to get some exercise and eating right and all that other stuff, trying to be healthy, I was still laid low by the flu. Now, I don't know if it's COVID or not. I don't think it is, but I can tell you for right now, if it's COVID, it's not in the top 5 flus I've ever had. But it's certainly in the top 5 unending nightmares I've had with regards to being sick. Because if there's one thing I enjoy, it's like knowing that my immune system is strong enough to beat down a cold within a few days. I'm at 2 weeks. It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow. And if at the end of that 2 weeks I'm not on the mend, then I may break down and go buy some freaking horse dewormer and go get that apple-flavored goodness called ivermectin and maybe put on some crackers or something. I don't know. Maybe mix it into some cobbler. I don't know. I haven't quite decided how best to dispense apple-flavored ivermectin. And I'm hoping and I'm praying that they actually it isn't just labeled apple flavor, that it actually tastes like apples. Because, I mean, you get Jolly Ranchers, right? And they say those are apples, sour apple, but they're really not. They don't have that apple flavor. And it's like certain brands of taffy. They say that it's this, but it's not, because it actually tastes like chemicals. I want something that when it says it tastes like something, that it actually will taste like something. Because right now, everything tastes like crayons. Everything that I am eating right now tastes terrible. It doesn't taste right. I just got done having some DayQuil. And I'm going to tell you right now, when it comes to unpleasant things to drink, cat urine is in my top five things that I would say is probably not something you want to get your, you know, you just don't want to be drinking it. This here beats cat urine. Nine ways to Sunday. I would not wish this stuff. And here's the worst part about it is there's like some 12-step alcoholics going, yeah, give me some of that DayQuil. You gotta understand that somebody's going to have a taste for something like this. And just because it ain't me doesn't mean that I'm wrong. It just means that some people have lower standards than I do. I got a liquor cabinet that I could have went to. I could have, in a moment of weakness, drowned this freaking virus in bourbon. And no, I didn't. I said, you know, I'm not gonna do that. No, I am going to beat this the way my ancestors did. We're gonna go out in an ice floe and freeze to death. We're going to separate ourselves from the rest of the tribe and try to beat this down using nothing but our sheer will, our nakedness, and snow. That's more or less the way I've tried to do this. And so far, it's worked out not well at all. Matter of fact, the only thing I've done is make my poor neighbors uncomfortable. And started making everyone wonder what kind of life choices I really make. All kidding aside, though, I've had worse colds than this. I just can't remember when. And because I'm a man, everything is full of melodrama when I'm sick. And I'm not afraid to admit it. But I think I've bitched a lot lately about being sick. So much so that I can barely stand myself, let alone other people. I'm a little disappointed that I didn't stock up on Monster energy drinks, because I think that would have gone a long way to make me happy. I think, though, it probably would have helped me at all, but I think it would have given me the energy to get through this podcast for sure. Because right now I'm loving my basement right now. It's nice and quiet and cool down here, and it's not too dry like it is upstairs. It's super dry. And everything tastes weird upstairs. Down here it doesn't seem to have like an overwhelmingly bitter taste, you know? I haven't quite figured out why. Different parts of the house taste funny. And I'm thinking that I could be experiencing some kind of synesthesia. Where, like, yes, I can hear sounds, but I can also see them too, and I can taste words, and everything is crayony. I like the taste of crayons, especially the red ones. No, I mean, it is what it is. It's I think that I have that kind of flu that has impacted my sense of smell, my sense of taste, my common sense. And to a degree, my ability to put sentences together. But I can say, though, that me and the pets have a new understanding. We're able to converse back and forth. And they seem to understand me more so than they pretended. Mostly because I've now told them, I know you're ignoring me. Get inside. It's cold out. I have to do that with Lily, and she's like, ha 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 ha. I think it's funny making you walk around out here in the snow. And I have to chase her down every once in a while. But as long as I give her room to poop, she's fine. She's a good dog. She's turning into a really good dog, Lily. She's really something. If you haven't seen the new photos of the studio pets, they're up on the website, www.theunseendimension.com. And you can see the animals in the gallery. You can see that thing I got on my wrist. And if you got any suspicions as to what that what those things are, I would love to know, because I only have it in the one spot. It's just one spot on my right wrist. I don't really know anything else other than that. So, been watching a lot of documentaries, mostly because I've been laid up and sick and just haven't been able to get out of the house as much as I'd like. And I got through the Showtime four-part series called UFO, which had one guy on there. I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, but he used to be the director of MUFON, the national director of MUFON. And it was as if that guy had said things that were, you know, cribbed from my podcast, and it made me feel great that I was onto something. It made me feel validated in my belief that there are a certain group of usual suspects that seem to be really only interested in selling books and not really getting to the crux of the mystery and all that other stuff. And then there was a lot of other stuff that I got through the whole series, and my take on UFOs, alien abduction, the whole kit and caboodle, I'm not entirely sure I believe any of it anymore. And I'll tell you why. I know this is major news. Because, I mean, you know, having a disillusioned podcaster, you know, who's talked about alien abduction and stuff like that ad nauseum, whether it be in seriousness or jest, you know, basically just, you know, renounces faith. Yeah, it's especially with the listenership that I have, all five of you. The reason why that I don't believe in any of it, at least not the way that I used to, is as follows. Since the 1990s, cell phone technology has been greatly advanced. And I've said this before, I have a cell phone that shoots 8K video. If you don't know what 8K video is, it's amazing. I don't really know how to explain it other than that. It is absolute. Most of your televisions now are 4K TV, and that's pretty lifelike quality. 8K is, you know, you're damn near watching everybody breathe. It's that good. And when you have that revolution in technology, and you have that many people with cell phone cameras at any given time, and you've got videos that, you know, if you are someone that has had their eyes in the sky since they were five, you kind of know what's real and what's not. And when I was watching this video, and I was watching it with a lot of intensity, I watched video of a UFO that was as phony as the day is long, but these guys were making it sound legitimate. And the reason why I knew it was fake is because it was a balloon. It was like a, you know, like one of those word balloons, you know, in the shape of an L or a T or whatever, you know. And this particular one, it was actually it was a balloon in the shape of a K or something like that, because it wasn't. It was a T, and it wasn't holding its shape 100%, but it was definitely, you could see what it was. You could definitely see it was, because it was reflecting the sun, and the sun hit it in such a way that made it look like it was something that it wasn't. And so you're watching this video, and if you don't know what this thing is, and you've got somebody putting together this multi-million dollar documentary series on Showtime, and they're trying to tell you that this is a legitimate video, and you sit there and you fall for it, you're a moron. I watched 4 hours of this, and they talked about Dr. John Mack. They didn't really talk about Bud Hopkins. I don't know why, but they didn't. But they talked about John Mack, and they didn't talk about a lot of the usual suspects like Stephen Greer and all that other stuff. Thankfully. But they had Richard Dolan, who I've seen a million times, and he's, you know, he passes himself off as fairly, you know, smart. But he's, I think he's part and parcel with the cabal. And then they had, of course, you know, Luis Elizondo, who, he's part of the entertainment industrial complex of science fiction. I know that for a fact. You've got all of these other people that are as phony as the day is long, and that's their job. That's their job. Their job is to make money off of you, the American taxpayer, by taking money from our government and using it to spread disinformation. I shit you not. Bigelow Aerospace. They have a huge interest in this stuff. They had this NIDS thing. And they had Dr. Edgar Mitchell and a lot of other people that were actually pretty smart folks coming in to explore the paranormal, essentially, and get paid to do so. $22 million of your taxpayer money. And to be perfectly honest with you, when I was listening to this guy from MUFON talk about everything, I realized that all of this UFO stuff, all of it, every last bit of it, if you're seeing it in the mainstream media of any way, whether it be Netflix, if it's HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, on any channel, any major network channel, sci-fi channel, if you're seeing it, Amazon, Prime, any of these goddamn outlets, if you're seeing it, it's part of that narrative. It's part of a control of a topic because they want you stupid. They want you to be absolutely fucking stupid. They want to control every last facet of that experience. And the reason why is because if you start, let's say that you as a human being, you're in the middle of the desert and, you know, you get a home out there, you know, looks a lot like, you know, the Lars homestead from Star Wars. And let's say that you're parked out there and you see a light in the sky and it lands on your property. And then, you know, you start to build a rapport with these aliens over time. And then they start to share with you their technology and things like that. Your government will kill you for it. They will. If you start having interactions with aliens, and there's any kind of cultural exchange whatsoever, they will kill you for it. And the reason why is because the powers that be have a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort in making sure that they have the monopoly on any and all technology that would be life-changing. If these aliens were to come down and show you that here's a zero-point energy thing, this will power your house forever. And, you know, you've been nice. You've been letting us, you know, come down here and do pet stop stuff, you know, park our ship every once in a while. You know, it's the least we can do. Say thanks. Your government will kill you for that technology. They will leave no evidence whatsoever. They will kill you for it. Don't believe me? Do some research. Do some research online about people who ran afoul of the powers that be when they invented something. Take a look at Nikola Tesla, for instance. That guy. When he died, everything that he had was confiscated. It disappeared. All of his notes, every last document that man ever had in his possession just vanished. You'd think that he had that Epstein Island thing or something going on. If you start having conversations with creatures from another world, and those things yield fruit, people will kill you for it. Or they'll silence you and in any way possible that they can. And if it means you have to take a dirt nap, you bet your butt they'll do it. Because nobody, absolutely nobody, can have the kind of power that these psychopaths that run the world have. They definitely don't want. This brings me to the idea that there are two human civilizations. There's one that you and I, we all function in. And then there's the one for them. Who's them? The nebulous they. These are the people that they are like us, but they're not like us. They've been existing above us. They rule us. They have been ruling us for thousands upon thousands of years. And their level of technology is magic compared to us and what we have. And they have been in this position of power since, well, the dawn of humanity. Do I honestly believe they're extraterrestrials? No. But I do believe that there's a certain amount of extraterrestrial or non-terrestrial malfeasance at work here, ensuring that they stay on top while the rest of us toil away needlessly, fighting wars and dealing with diseases that our governments concoct in laboratories and then blame on other people. So yeah, after I watched that Showtime deal, all four episodes, even my belief in alien abduction, I don't believe in a lot of that anymore. I know I've had my own personal experiences, but I don't think that if I were to be hypnotically regressed, I would actually be able to yield anything. And the reason why is because I'm pretty sure that if these creatures can fly through interdimensional space or whatever, and they can, you know, do whatever they want to with impunity, I'm pretty sure that wiping some memories isn't that fucking difficult for them. I don't think that there's a whole lot here with regards to the whole alien UFO stuff that would actually make me believe that there is something more to it. I honestly believe this is my own honest opinion right now. A lot of these, like the Tic Tac UFO things like that, I honestly believe that if it's a genuine UFO, right, if it's like legitimately, you know, not military hardware, it's probably somebody who's in the processes of inventing it, who's doing some testing, and, you know, and they're testing it out on our military, not a foreign military. They're testing it on our own military because it's easier for us to mansplain to our own people that, yeah, this is us. This is what we're doing. And don't worry, we're not here to harm you guys. It's just us testing out a new secret weapon of a drone of some kind. And all of these drones that they've got, these unmanned UAV-type drones that don't have a person in them, that can do all of these things that would liquefy a human being, don't have to worry about it because, after all, there's no living being on board. It's just a drone. It's just another drone. And if it's interdimensional or if it's extraterrestrial, it's still just, it's just a robot. It's a drone. It's a scout checking us out. That's about it. If you could go back in time, what better way to do that without actually leaving a fucking mark or leaving any evidence than to have a drone that could float, gather intelligence, gather evidence, and then boop, fly back to its own home dimension. That, I think, is more of a rational explanation than believing that extraterrestrials are flying around in little tic-tac-shaped vehicles. No. I'm sure that there's probably some kind of control on them somewhere, but it's so far removed from the target. It's magic. It's going to look like magic to any of us humans on the second tier. See, on the first tier, it looks like, it's a radio controlled car to them. For us, it's magic. Because like I said, I honestly believe that there are two tiers of human society. We live on the low tier, and the upper tier has things. Imagine Elysium, the movie Elysium, where they have like these health pods that get into it and it cures all their ills and shit like that. Or if you get shot in the face and it rebuilds you from scratch and then, re-kicks in your heart and then you've got all your genetic memory. It's able to graft and screen and 3D print you, new body parts and shit. Yeah, that's what I think is what we've got. We've got two tiers of humanity. That's what I'm more inclined to believe after watching this series. Because that makes sense. It makes much more sense to me than pretending that we talking monkeys down here are interacting with UFOs and aliens in a way that is somehow a fair exchange. The only thing that we can offer extraterrestrials is something that they don't already have: human beings. They can get anything they want. They can get comic books. They can get computers. They can have any of our tech right now. They can have as many cars as they want to. But they can't get human beings without there being questions asked. So if you think for one moment that you have an equitable trade with a non-human race, unless it's coffee that they want, which, I could understand it, maybe some fruit. Maybe some of our vegetables are pretty good. We do have some pretty good stuff here on planet Earth. We do. We have some great food. But in all honesty, though, the only real surefire commodity that we do have that no one else does is human beings. And whether they're shipping us off to either an intergalactic meatpacking plant or a zoo, an extraterrestrial zoo, it's hard to tell. But I digress. If you can sit through 4 hours of watching that series, and if you don't come away with at least some kind of opinion that you didn't have before, then you haven't been really paying attention to the thing. Because I watched Leslie Keen give her speech, and I watched all these other people who they talked about the big disclosure thing that they were doing, and it was all bunk and all phony. And at the end of it, you could see that they had this look on their face like, we got fucking used. They did. And then this guy, Luis Elizondo, goes creeping back into the woodwork, all this other stuff, all these other creepers, they're out there. And they've all collectively disappeared, gone back into the fold, and They'll come back out when they need to sell you another bill of goods. But by and large, what you're seeing is phony. It's all hand shadows, sock puppetry, and it's a joke for you. They're laughing at you for believing any of this stuff is real. Because here's the thing, with all of these cell phone cameras that we've got in the world, have you noticed an absence of real, honest-to-God, decent video footage of UFOs? Or aliens, for that matter? How about Bigfoot? Seen any Bigfoots in any of these YouTube channels or any of that other stuff? And the reason why is because they control all of it. The only way in hell you are going to actually ever document anything that's paranormal is if you keep it to yourself and you don't show anybody. Ever. And never put it on a fucking cloud. Whatever you do, never put anything on the cloud. It's not yours. It's not yours. All your documents, all that other stuff, your photos, all that other stuff, they're being combed through every day looking for whatever they can find. If you're an inventor and you got a new adventure and you're wanting to create something new and exciting, somebody's going to beat you to it. And the reason why is because your shit's on the fucking cloud. And they have access to it. There's no privacy on the cloud. I'm telling you guys all of this stuff because I don't think that anyone really grasps the fact that so much of the paranormal is bullshit. So much of it is absolute bullshit. And the stuff that is real, the stuff that is real, is so small that you hardly would ever even notice it. And the reason why is because nobody knows where to look. Everyone thinks that, you know, it's got to be popular for it to be real. That's not true. It's not true at all. You got people like Stephen Greer selling books out the wazoo every day with, he's got his whole, I'm going to sell you an encounter package to go see aliens and stuff like that. If somebody's selling you that kind of stuff, they're not showing you anything real. They're selling you a story. And that's the whole point of everything, is that if you watched this Showtime thing, every last bit of it was a sales pitch. It's all a contrivance. And it's been going on for a long time in order for you to believe in something that isn't real. So I, as far as me and my belief about UFOs, extraterrestrials, extra-dimensional beings, and all that other stuff, I have my own beliefs, but that's only because I've had my own experiences. And have I been looking at them and second-guessing them? Oh, yeah, you better believe I have. The problem with me is that I know that if I document anything on my phone or if I have anything that looks, smells, tastes, touches, if I have a UFO or alien encounter on my phone and it's 100% legitimate, I won't have it for very long. If I have an artifact from another planet, it or me will disappear. I guarantee it. There'll be somebody that breaks into my house and takes it. Or there'll be somebody that breaks into my house, finds that I'm not willing to part with it, and then kills me in the process, then ransacks my house and can't find it, burns it down, and then, you know, maybe when the fire department comes, they sort it out after the fact. But I can tell you right now, if you have anything meaningful, they will take it from you. If they can't marginalize you and they can't railroad you, they can't destroy you in the media or whatever, they will kill you for it. Because control is everything to these psychopaths. We can't have just the average human being out there with the ability to generate their own energy. We can't have any human being out there that might be able to, I don't know, heal their own wounds and cure their own diseases. That doesn't serve anybody's purposes. Imagine building a car that you would never have to put gas into. Imagine flying without worrying about having gravity, you know, crush you at some point. Being able to fly, you know, and or build a spaceship or whatever. Or maybe leave this planet away from the clutches of the oppressive governments on this planet. Imagine having the ability to have a Millennium Falcon and just be able to leave whenever you wanted to. You think the powers that be are ever going to allow that? Fuck no. No. They're not. And they'll kill you for it. Because We have two tiers of our society. Think of yourself as that crab in the bucket that's desperately trying to get out while the rest of the crabs in the bucket pull you down. That's the tier of society we live in. The difference is that on outside of that bucket, you don't have any crabs trying to help you get out. As a matter of fact, you've got crabs that are floating above you, shining lights down with flashlights, giving you the vain hope that there's something better on the outside of that bucket that you never get to see, touch, taste, or whatever, or experience. It's all imaginary. While the crabs in the bucket say, "You didn't see anything!" And then they drag you down to the bottom, and next thing you know, you're being turned into crab fettuccine Alfredo. Anyway. If you believe in any of this stuff, you believe in the paranormal in any meaningful way, do yourself a favor. Become skeptical. Because that is the only way you'll be able to preserve your sanity. Being a true believer has never helped anybody. As a matter of fact, it's helped a lot of people make a lot of money and hide a lot of truth. That's the problem with the true believer mindset, is that you're so willing to believe that you can't be skeptical enough to look and acknowledge the truth. And that was very sobering. After I got done with that last episode, I suddenly realized that as much as I love the paranormal, and I do, and I love the weird stuff, and I love looking for the weird things in the world, and I like the idea of there being other worlds outside of this one where things are possible, it sobered me up pretty quickly to know that in the big scheme of things, I'm a small, inconsequential human being. And if I ever could prove without a doubt that extraterrestrials existed and that I had any value to them whatsoever, they would kill me for it. Because that's just what primitives do. Because deep down, primitives, they want to be the ones with the power. And that's how you know you're on a very, very low vibrational society. Because rather than try to lift everybody up, they're trying to keep everyone down so that they can stay at the top. And that's evil. So, anyway, as soon as I get healthy, and as soon as the weather gets better, I'm planning on doing some Randonautica stuff again. And maybe seeing what I can experience that might be a little more positive and uplifting. So far, I've just mostly been drifting from furniture to furniture to furniture, from couch to chair to bed, and from room to room as I try to stave off this nasty flu. I guess I'm going to go ahead and conclude this for the evening. It's been 40 minutes and you've been very patient, so I appreciate you listening to tonight's show, and I hope you have a fantastic week. I'll come back on Wednesday and hopefully not be such a negative Nancy. You guys take care. Good night.